to week two of basketball practice, camp, instructional league, whatever you want to call it. And the boy is still loving it.
Great.
Having a great time, locked in, can't dribble to save his life, but, you know,
but
whatever.
Doesn't matter.
But
it's
having
all about the effort.
Having a blast, right? And the other child that was his age, because they're the only 2 5-year-olds in the whole thing. And
the
last
time, he was having a hard time.
Yeah, he was nervous and everything. But on second time, loving it.
Great.
Loving it the whole time, engaged, no breakdowns, first in line for everything, big smile on his face, and just loving it. And so like we talked about last time, you know, it's all about knowing how hard to push him and stuff like that. And not bailing the second the kid says, oh, I don't like this, I want to go home.
Yeah.
You know, it's okay. Push him a little bit. And maybe they'll love it. But, you know, if on time number two he also hated it, then maybe you start looking at it.
Right.
You know? Yeah. There was a funny thing that happened, though. They I'll put air quotes around it, scrimmaged at the end of it, which is just a clump of kids running around chasing a ball.
Right.
And the coaches, bless their hearts, they're lining the kids up across from each other and saying, okay, you guard him and you guard him. And it's just an exercise in futility.
Right.
But when they were lined up across from each other, my boy and the other boy were on opposite teams. And since they're the only 2 5-year-olds, the coaches were saying, you guys are going to guard each other.
Mm-hmm.
And the other little boy looked at my son and just out loud and for all the parents to hear, he just goes, hey, love you. and my boy just goes, love you too. And like, it was like, what? It was so funny. And all the parents are cracking up laughing. And I don't know. They're just.
Kids are great. That's so
from
funny.
From my heart, we just make the crest.
Oh.
Still rocks a nano iPod with this manly bod. Brett Depper was Jake on awkward. A handy dandy built a den. What the heck? Just hanging out and talking dead stuff.
Don't get school dads and eat dead guff.
So take a knee. Use inside voices. We're talking no malarkey. Tire pressure. Playing catch. Time out corner. Doing raves. It's your bench. I eat your veggies. Pull up a lawn chair and open some suds. Crack some dad jokes with these dead buds. Better behave or they'll turn this damn car right around. Radioactive.
Yes. I mean, that time it did feel like it went on for 8 minutes, right?
Yeah.
That was a long time.
Yeah. I thought so. I got 8 ounces of coffee down in that in that one song.
Yeah.
I wasn't
trying. Anyway, just to finish up the story, on the way home, I had to have a big talk with him about, you know, the opposite team and how we don't like them at all.
Right.
And how we need to take them out.
Yeah.
This isn't about love.
Yeah.
This is about basketball.
Yeah, this is guy stuff now.
You know, I was like, don't you go soft on me. No, I'm just kidding.
I can't even imagine the swell of
pride
and affection that you saw in that moment toward your child.
Yeah.
Of just, oh, that's my boy. That's him.
It's really fun when you start taking them to activities and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And actually, maybe this is something interesting. I've been having some talks with parent friends, you know, parents of kids who are friends with our kids.
Mm.
And sometimes a lot of them will say, especially if they have younger kids, they'll say, oh, yeah, we haven't started any activities yet. Or, oh, I've never brought them to – this is our first gymnastics class, and they're, you know, 4.5 years old or whatever. Mm. And it's like, all right, well, good that you're starting now. But if I could give any advice to anyone listening out there who has younger kids or maybe you're pregnant for the first time or you're thinking about having kids, try to get them involved in these things as early as you can. I know they cost money and all kinds of stuff like that, and I get it. But as much as you can do, or if you can find some communities have free activities or a free day of soccer at the park in the afternoon or something, and you can try to look that stuff up on the internet because It's not just about the sport. It's the socializing and the learning from a coach who's not their parent and listening to a different authority figure like we've talked about before.
Right.
So anyway, I love it, and I find that their little faces light up and they get so much out of it beyond sports or dance or whatever it is that the activity is.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I recommend it.
We've been having this discussion yet again in the Crass house, and we haven't – so Rosie's – Just past two, she's 25 months almost. When do you stop counting months after two, right?
I stopped counting months after 1 year.
Okay. Great. So you just say, like, he's one. And then you go, like, he's one and a half.
I'm an actor, Nathan. The extent of my math knowledge is subtracting 10%. Anything after that, I can't do it.
Not taxes or anything, just the commissions.
Yeah.
That's the only thing you'll get in trouble
for. Oh, I could tell you 10% of pretty much any number.
That's great.
It's true.
25 if you got the whole roster.
Oh, yeah, well, I know. That gets too into the weeds for people that don't.
Right, yeah. We'll have a whole episode about that. only eight other actors will tune in.
Right.
So, yeah, we've kind of had the same thing. We're trying to figure out what that looks like because we've generally done the socializing thing. We try to get her out of the house, onto the street with the other kids or in the park or, you know, at church. We're gone for an hour and a half and there's 15 other two-year-olds in there and, you know, they have their circle time and they talk and they share and all this stuff. But we haven't done any of the class things and we really want to. The question that we have gotten a little bit stuck on is we always thought initially – we want her to do gymnastics, some kind of athletic, sporty thing, because she is very athletically minded and she's just constantly active. And we just figured that would be a great way to burn off energy. Now we're at that question of, okay, do we do something like that or do we do something that's more academic, technically, more brain rather than body? And because, you know, there's TK and all that stuff that you can start thinking about doing when they're about three. But then the question was, is there something that you can do at this age between 2 and 3 years old that's more actual class oriented that kind of gets them ready for school rather than necessarily just doing something that's running around and rolling around on mats and, you know, swinging?
Well, I mean, I can tell you, you know, I don't know if we've talked about it before or not, so sorry if I'm repeating myself, but the big thing with gymnastics classes, and I've said it before, we've had both of our kids in gymnastics, quote-unquote gymnastics classes, since they were like 6 months old.
Yeah.
And the way that it relates to school is, one, there's a lot of just, you know, go stand on the red dot versus the green dot. And so there's like learning colors and shapes And there's a lot of wait your turn, which I really like.
Right.
There's a lot of sit, because it's only like 5 or 6 kids per teacher.
Right.
Or maybe even less sometimes, 3 kids or something. So it's very hands-on. And so it's like, okay, the 3 of you sit down on this mat because we're going to walk across the balance beam, but we're going to do it one at a time. And of course, when they're 2, it's a mess. They're running all over the place.
Right.
But by the time they get to 5, I mean, they really are waiting their turn and sitting back down and going to the end of the line and not cutting. And so there's like a lot of that just sort of social politeness that comes along with it that I like a lot. And I think there's a lot of learning that we just don't even really that we can't even really comprehend that they are learning.
Yeah, that's true. So. I'm sure they incorporate a lot of things in there. And that's the thing, the social structure and education, I think, is probably the most important thing out of anything. And you would get that either in an academic environment or in a more physical environment. So I guess, you know, as long as you're getting that one way or another, that's important.
Well, I think you kill two birds with one stone, too, because they are so much running around and working off a lot of that energy that they have.
They just want to go take a nap.
Which is good, yeah. Because I just think, I mean, obviously this isn't what you're talking about. I couldn't even see how it would work. But getting a kid that age to, like, sit down and just, you know, and, like, look at a blackboard or something like that is, like, I don't even know how that would work.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess at this age, I don't even know what that thing would be. But we had one of those moments where it was that kind of guilt thing where someone with a child roughly Rosie's age was talking about this class that they're doing at this education center.
Oh, really?
And, yeah, so we had that moment of, Are we bad parents?
No, you're fine.
We're not doing the stuff that everyone else is doing. So that's what I'm saying though. It's just so pervasive. It just happens all the time.
Yeah.
Just that constant, you know, keeping up with the Joneses, but regarding your kids.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
It just we get stuck in it, and it gets hard.
It's hard because it's natural as a human being to compete.
Right.
Right? Survival of the fittest.
Yeah.
So it's natural to have a competition, whether it's anything.
Yeah.
You know?
And you want your kids to excel. And
of course. Of course. But I think there also needs to be a quiet confidence in the idea that all things will come just because of who you are, who you and your wife are, the environment that the child is being raised in and the world that they're growing up in, all these. I mean, it's not as if she's going to get to, you know, 17 without knowing simple addition and stuff. It's going to happen.
Right.
You know?
Right.
It's okay.
Yeah. And I guess if there's one thing that I would want her to learn right now, it's manners and, you know, all those things that are so foundational that you want to get in the habit of now. Because like you said, all those other things are going to happen naturally.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting. For Rosie's second birthday, I did like an Instagram post just kind of talking about like what's been going on in the last year. And, you know, we were talking, I had addressed that like she's working on learning right and wrong, manners, how to be kind and all these things. And someone commented on my Instagram and said something to the effect of, okay, look, dude, she's 2, not 22. She's not learning manners and all of these things.
No,
and
that's not true.
It's not true at all.
No.
That's one of the, like, people don't understand. And what's funny is I wanted so badly to comment back in a very nice way of saying, actually, you know, you'd be amazed what people can learn. But from the last time we talked about when I commented on something that someone said on my Instagram and that whole thing
it was a
became
debacle.
A massive fuster cluck. The whole thing.
Well done.
Thank you. The whole thing was just, it just went so bad so fast. I've learned just to never comment on Instagram. So I'm just going to vent on the radio. I wanted to say there's no too early,
right?
You know, for teaching your kids that kind of thing. Because right now, I mean, she says, please, thank you, excuse me, bless you when other people sneeze. She's running the gamut of manners and being kind and setting the foundation for those things. And she was doing that before she was 2.
Yeah.
You know, and if she's saying she's 2, not 22, I'm like, I hope you're not getting that nailed in when you're 22. You know, like, do it now.
Yeah, yeah. I think you're 100% right on. I think it goes – it's manners. It also goes to, like, discipline, work ethic, all of those things.
Yeah.
I think learning all of that stuff at a young age and then sticking with it, it then just becomes part of the fabric of who you are.
Right.
It's like learning to speak English or anything,
yeah.
You know? Like I've said 1,000 times on this show, when they're born, they don't speak any language.
Right.
You have to teach them that. And then it becomes just natural and intuitive and whatever. And if you're naturally and teaching them in an intuitive way to hold the door open for someone or to say please or thank you, then it just is locked in there.
Right.
And you don't have to then worry about setting it later, like you're saying,
yeah.
Which will never really set in.
Right. And the problem is, I think what's so discouraging, especially at this age, is you feel like you're beating your head against the wall at the beginning because they don't understand.
Yeah.
And you have to repeat yourself. I shudder to think the amount of times that I've had to say, what do you say? Or
right.
Say thank you.
Right.
Or whatever the case may be.
How do you ask for that?
Right. What's the nice way to say that?
Mm-hmm.
It's almost every time.
Yeah.
And it's been, we probably started doing that at around 1 year when she was capable of uttering something that sounded like thank you.
Right.
And it was a long year.
Sure.
Of just, I don't think this is working.
Right.
She's just not doing it.
Right.
She'll only do it when we say it, you know? So I think especially at the beginning, that's why people just kind of give up on it and say, I'll just teach them later when they're really talking and all that stuff. But if you just put your nose to that grindstone and stick with it in a really consistent way, even if it feels like nothing's happening, I guarantee you something's happening. Because one day it just kind of started clicking.
Yeah.
We handed her something and she said, Aka. And we're like, oh.
There it is.
Oh. It's happening.
Yeah.
The dividends are paying off.
Yeah.
You know, that 1 year investment is finally turning around and it's becoming something after just endlessly feeling like this is so dumb. I feel like I'm talking to a wall and nothing is happening.
I find too that a lot of parent friends as well will share, you know, trials and tribulations with and everything in all things in terms of getting them to eat vegetables or go to bed at a certain time or with potty training or whatever. And the only thing that I ever say back and the only thing that we try to keep in mind and you know, we're not like parenting experts or anything,
sure.
But just common sense is just consistency, 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 and stay with whatever it is that you're trying to teach. If it's sleep training, be consistent and stay on it. I know it's hard, but there is an end of the road that's better than what you're experiencing right now.
Right.
So stick with it. I think It's true in all the things that you're trying to teach them. If you mm-hmm. if you say, I want you to eat that dinner, and you make them do it that one night, or you find the thing that works that one night, but then the next night you don't stick with it at all, it's never going to lock itself in.
Right.
And also I find that a lot of parent friends or people, and I'm guilty of this too, of thinking that, oh man, I missed that opportunity, and yeah. it's they've already gone down this road and are doing something that I wish it could have been different, but I didn't teach it right, and so we're stuck.
Yeah.
No, you're not. I mean, even with the 5-year-old, you can change something tomorrow as long as you just start.
Yeah.
As long as you just start doing it that way, mm-hmm. The behavior you can alter and you can change and you can teach and whatever.
Yeah,
it's never over.
It really is the most discouraging thing to feel like it's too late to yeah. make those critical things.
Right.
But just thinking about the concept of neuroplasticity, that your brain is constantly evolving and changing until you're in your early 20s.
Yeah.
And it slows down up to that point, but it just goes to show how flexible the psyche of a child is. And that's why, on the other hand, they're so vulnerable to those specifically negative experiences and how they see the world is so heavily affected by the people around them that are in the world, mm-hmm. you know, and their family relationships and all of that stuff starts at such a young age. It really does go both ways. But just keeping in mind that kids change so much and they're capable of so much change. We've seen things kind of start to happen with Rosie that have been sort of concerning, and we're trying to figure out how to navigate that.
Like, but what?
Okay. When you started talking about consistency and discipline, this is what kind of brought it up in my mind. So I'm going to ask you the question first. How do you show your kids that you are serious when you're in discipline mode? How do you convey to your kids, I am no longer playing a game? This is something that we are talking about in a very serious tone,
mm-hmm.
and you will be in trouble if you disobey me or if you don't listen to what I'm saying.
Oh, man.
Because we've talked about dad voice.
Oh, yeah.
What happens when dad voice fails, bud?
Yeah, man. This is a tricky one.
Yeah.
This is a tricky one. And I think this is what this episode's going to be about.
Yep.
So why don't we take a break and then dive into it on the other side of the break?
All right.
What do you think?
I think that's a good idea.
All right. We'll be right back.
All right.
All right. Welcome back to Radioactive Dads. My name's Brett. That's Nathan over there. You might have watched a show I was on called Awkward on MTV. Nathan was on a show called iCarly on Nickelodeon. Yeah. That's who we are. Thank you for listening. This episode, we're talking about what, Nathan?
Well, we're going to talk about discipline, I think, and consistency of showing your kids that you mean business.
Yeah.
What that looks like and how to convey that to your kids.
Well, because it's easy to say be consistent, but then how do you actually implement it? And what you were talking about right before the break is, how do I let my child know that I'm actually serious while I'm trying to discipline and this isn't playtime anymore?
Right.
That's a struggle that we've dealt with in our house and are kind of dealing with right now.
Oh.
The 5-year-old boy, he knows when dad and mom are serious and when they're not. He gets it. Our 2.5-year-old daughter doesn't really get it yet. And I think that's where you're at as well,
yeah,
with your 2-year-old. Mm-hmm. And I wish I had a good answer for you.
I need you on this.
And sort of filling time because I don't know if I have a good answer.
Well, what did you do with the boy?
This sounds like a cop-out, but it is consistency. So if you just keep doing dad voice, eventually it will lock in that voice is serious versus the silly voice that's not serious. And so this is not such a good answer for you, I know, but I can't explain it. It's something visceral that you're just going to have to experience. Like, just keep doing dad voice and eventually it will lock itself in. But you can't laugh while you're doing it.
I know, that's the hard part. Because then they start making cute faces and then you have to turn around and they see your shoulders quivering and that's
the problem. Give me a scenario.
Your child is playing, the dishwasher door is open.
Yes.
Sharp corners on the door of that dishwasher.
Sure.
They keep running around the kitchen island, and they're about to collide with the dishwasher door. You're in there doing dishes, and then they stop at the dishwasher door, and they grab the door, and they're trying to push the dishwasher door up, and you're saying, no, stop.
Right.
No, Daddy's doing the dishes right now, so we have to leave the door closed. Mm-hmm. And then they do it again. You say, no. No, ma'am.
Yeah.
No, ma'am. And it just gets more dad voice. And then they look up at you and they go.
Yeah.
And then they do it again.
Yeah.
I know you say consistency is key. That's the long term when they finally, when the dad voice is enough. In that moment, what are you going to do? Just keep saying, no, 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 no. Like, does it just become more dad voice until they just like lose interest? What in that moment is the thing, aside from screaming in their face,
yeah,
that you can do to without corporal punishment?
Well,
that's what I'm saying.
Timeouts. Have you started? Are you a timeout? Are you going to be a timeout family?
I don't think she gets timeouts right now.
Of course they don't get it right now. But this is my whole point. What we try to do is whatever behavior they're doing that you don't want them to do. It's you start with just like, hey, come on, no, that's dangerous, or no, you're gonna get hurt,
right,
or what, you know, don't do that anymore. Go play. Like, I try to always offer an alternative.
Right, exactly.
Right. Hey, no playing with the dishwasher door. Go in the playroom. Dad's doing the dishes. I'll be in there in a minute. Whatever.
Right.
Obviously, they never listen to that.
Right.
So then it becomes, if you do that again, you're gonna get a timeout, and then timeout becomes now a thing in their life.
Right.
But like we've talked about on other episodes, they don't know the definition of timeout. So you got to explain it for a while until they finally understand it. And it's timeout is you're going to sit in this chair and have to sit there for a period of time. Of course, at the beginning, it's only like a minute.
3 minutes.
Yeah, whatever. But you're not going to be getting to do the kind of thing that you want to do. And also, dad's going to be very stern when you go on timeout, and so you'll know that this is not something that you want to be doing.
Follow-up question.
Well, and then from there on, it's just about consistency. So it's the warning, hey, you keep doing that, you're going to get a timeout. They've maybe had a couple timeouts leading up to that, know that it's not something they want, and so you hope they make the other choice. And another thing we've been saying lately in the house, which sounds so ridiculous, but it's started to pay off because we've been doing it for so many weeks, is if you do that again, you're going to get a timeout. Make a good choice. Make a good choice. You can, and then here's where the alternative comes in. You can continue to do what you're doing and get a timeout, or you can go in the playroom and play with some of your toys and not get a timeout. Make a good choice.
Interesting.
And I know it sounds ridiculous to say that to a 2-year-old, and the first 100 times that you say it, it is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But on the 101st, when you see them make the decision, oh, all right, I'll go play, it's so rewarding.
Yeah. Okay.
And at
great.
The beginning, they're only going to make the choice to go play for like 10 seconds because
right.
they have no concept of time.
Right.
But you just have to stay with it. So what we like to do is the, please don't do that. If they continue, then it's the warning. You're going to get a timeout. And then you have to give them the timeout if they keep doing it. Because if you don't, they just know they can get away with whatever.
Right. So
And it has to be something timeout worthy.
Right.
You know, because the risk is that you just start handing out timeouts for like the most trivial things.
Right.
And then they just feel stepped on and, you know, and then I don't want them
right.
to ever feel that way.
That's why I struggle with timeouts in general, because there's so many competing thoughts about how effective that is and what it necessarily teaches them. And I don't know where we stand on it, but we haven't done it yet because, for one, she can't sit still for more than 10 seconds.
Yeah.
So that's my follow-up question for you. I don't know if your girl's exactly the same way or if she's capable of sitting for that long, but I know if I put Rosie on a chair and said, you are on timeout, you will not move until Daddy says it's okay or until the timer goes off or whatever the thing is. What happens when 5 seconds later you turn around and she gets up and runs off?
Well, you have
to— You just keep putting her on the chair, put her on the chair,
yep.
just for 45 minutes?
Yep, yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. You have to just, you know, not in a violent way, but you have to keep, just taking them by the shoulders and saying, no, you're going to sit here. That's what we're going to do. You're learning something right now. And I'm, and it's so hard because you guys, I know your lives are so busy and you got a million things going on and the phone's ringing and blah, blah, blah. And I totally hear all that. But if what you're trying to achieve is this discipline, then put the dishes aside for a second and then take that time to teach what a timeout is and be consistent with it. And you're going to sit here and I don't care how long it takes. You're going to learn this thing. It'll pay dividends down the road. It's that investment that we're talking about.
Yeah.
You make the investment then and then keep making it day after day after day after day. And then it starts to pay off. Because with our girl, when we tried to start introducing timeouts to her, she had seen her brother get a few. Mm-hmm. And so it was like, all right, that's it. You're on timeout. And she would just look at us and go, okay, and run off towards your room. Like it was no big deal.
Yeah.
And so it was like, oh, she's not even like really impacted by this.
Right.
But further down the line, when she realized that timeout was like an isolation with no toys and stuff and not just a time to go lay on the carpet and roll around or whatever, right, then it started to pay off.
Yeah.
Once she was missing out on something.
Right.
So once it, because then it becomes an actual punishment.
Right. Yeah. I guess that's the thing is like how much do they understand right now? And is that the effective way to do it? Because like, also what we did or what I did in that moment, and it worked, and actually she hasn't done it again, but I just kind of pulled her away, just grabbed her by the shoulders, pulled her away from the dishwasher, got down on her level and talked in the very stern voice about explaining why I didn't want her to do that, uh-huh, why it's dangerous for her to do something like that, and why daddy's trying to keep you from getting hurt, and mm-hmm, that's why I tell you to do things, and when you don't do things, that's called disobeying, and all these, and I could see, like, sort of the little bit of, like, well of kind of wet eyes, so, like, I knew it was kind of getting to her.
Oh, yeah.
And then she had that thing, it's so cute. Now, she knows it's coming when we kind of, like, get her by the shoulders and get down on her level. And she'll like look down, and then she puts her head into our shoulder and go, "I'm saucy."
What a little jerk!
Daddy.
What a little jerk!
I know. And then
manipulating your feelings like that. How dare she?
I know. And then you get into that. It's okay. I forgive you. You know, this is just why we have to do all these things. And then they recover really quickly. So what we're trying to do right now, rather than necessarily doing timeouts, which I don't know if she'd understand, but maybe we should try it, is just really like pulling them away from the situation and not letting them avoid kind of a difficult conversation. Because mm-hmm, I think I've said that on the show too. The more you can explain, whether or not they fully understand it, the more that you can explain your actions and why you're saying no to something,
mm-hmm,
even if they don't get it, if they start to understand there is a reason for it, whatever that reason may be, that anytime I can say yes to something, I'm going to say yes to it. But when I say no, it's because there's a very specific reason.
Mm-hmm.
That was how I've kind of tried to just like live my life, is to say yes to people as often as you can so that when you say no, it means something. And people understand why that is. And I think the other thing to your point that's critical is you can't just tell your child, no, you can't do this. No, you can't do this.
Right.
When they run off, no, you can't do that either. Because then they're like, okay, well, what can I do?
Well, but it also starts to become white noise for them too.
Right.
If you're just saying it and there's no repercussions or like punishments or what, if there's nothing concrete that they can hold on to, then they're just hearing you in the background. You become like Charlie Brown's teacher or something where it's inaudible and they're hearing is just like, no, don't go there. No, don't go there. No, I noticed. I try so hard to spend time not telling them to do anything.
Right.
Like at the playground or anything, I notice sometimes that I'm just constantly going like, come over here, no, do this, go over there, do that, blah, 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 and just constantly peppering them with things. And I'm lately just been so mindful of, unless it's dangerous,
mm-hmm,
just let it go.
Let him explore.
Let him figure it out. Because they get in disputes with other little kids over, you know, some kid brings sand toys to the park and then they want the shovel and then they get in an argument with some random kid. And instead of just jumping in right away out of fear that the other parent is watching or out of embarrassment or whatever, I've been so cognizant lately of like, will they be able to work this out?
Mm-hmm.
And if there's a line. Everybody right. knows the line.
When someone starts, you know, throwing things.
You know the line. And if that gets crossed, then I don't mind jumping in. But
then you have the teachable moment.
And also, you know what else, man? I think I've said this before on the show. I'll say it. I'll try to.
Uh-oh.
Just let her let them hit the corner of the dishwasher, figure out what it feels like. I mean, as long as it's not, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, like,
let them smack their shin into it. Exactly. All right. That hurt, didn't it? Don't do it again.
Right.
Or like the other day, my son, he's standing on a chair I'm cooking, and there's a pan that's on the stove. Mm-hmm. It's not hot.
Yeah.
Because the stove wasn't on. I was cutting something next to the stove. The pan was going to be used in a minute. Mm-hmm. But it's not hot. And he said, Dad, is that hot? And I went, touch it. And he goes, no. And I went, well, how do you know if it's hot or not? And he goes, well, I'm asking you if it's hot. And, you know, obviously not in as good an English as that. But yeah. And then I just said,
I inquire as to the temperature of this pan, Bob.
I said, listen, if you touch it real fast or if you start to get close to it, you'll feel if it's warm or not. So go for it. And he never did.
Dad of the year.
But I kind of was just standing there like, go for it. Because I knew it wasn't.
Right, sure.
But and so I'm trying to, you know, like we were in the backyard making a camp, like a bonfire, like or a little fire pit thing. And I was showing both of them, like, put your hand out, feel the warmth, see how close you can get to it. It's all teachable
right.
stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But sometimes, well.
Right. So here's the thing.
You got to figure out if water is wet at a certain point.
Right.
The only way to know that is to jump in.
Well, this is the interesting thing. So it's interesting that when you, I agree with you. I want her to bump into things
yeah.
and feel cause and effect and all that stuff. What freaks me out is when she's running around that island and takes the corner and starts to trip a little bit and takes three steps forward and comes down on her eyeball.
Oh, no, I know.
That's where I'm like, okay, yes, I want her to hit her shin and understand, yeah. ouch, that hurts. But what happens when she falls the wrong way and impales her eye and has a glass eye for the rest of her life?
Yeah, that's bad.
That's where I'm constantly in that struggle of I have to start asking what's the worst thing that could happen and how do I mitigate that worst thing so that something less bad can happen that she can learn from and it not be a permanent damage.
Well, I think that's why the timeout is the less bad thing that happens to her rather than right. getting her eye gouged out.
Right. Yeah.
It's this is the punishment for the thing that you're doing that I don't want you to do. So next time when you're doing something I don't want you to do, remember this.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, no, that does make sense. I do want to circle back around, though, as far as the constantly saying no thing, because you said it, and I think this is one of the biggest things that I learned from other parents is don't just say no and leave it at that.
Yeah.
Offer an alternative.
Yeah.
What you were saying of like, no, don't play with the dishwasher door. Go play in the playroom. Look at all of your toys. Go read your bear book.
Yep.
You know, go do these things. This is what you can do so that it's not just, well, all I'm hearing is no. So
right.
I'm just frustrated.
Right.
If you give them a no followed immediately by a yes, it softens the blow a lot more and they get a lot less frustrated
mm-hmm.
by being given the opportunity to say yes. But so, okay.
Well, and like our other episode though, be aware that when you're introducing these concepts and these ideas, they have no idea what you're talking about.
Right.
So when you say, if you do that again, you're going to get a timeout. If you just leave it there, they literally don't know what timeout means.
Right.
So if I'm offering advice to anyone out there, it's do that again, you're going to get a timeout. Do you know what a timeout is? No. A timeout is when you sit in this chair and don't get to do what you want to do. So now we've given that phrase a definition
mm-hmm.
that they can understand. Then you keep saying that for the next little bit. Do you want a timeout? Remember what a timeout is. Here's what a timeout is. Here's what a timeout is. You know what I mean? Because if you start saying you do that again, you're going to get in trouble. Well, what's that mean?
Yeah.
What's get in trouble mean?
Right.
And so when you start introducing these new concepts and ideas, make sure that you're defining it for them out there.
Yeah.
So now I'm doing the offer an alternative and say make a good choice.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I also have to explain what a choice is.
Right.
Do you know what a choice is? Of course, they say no. Then I say, a choice is when you make a decision between two different things.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You pick one or the other because then you'd have to explain what a decision
right. what
is.
What is picking?
But you know what I mean. Like, it works so well with the five-year-old, and
yeah.
I think it's because we laid that groundwork so early.
Right.
It works so well with him now that I can say, you know, buddy, like, dad's doing this thing that you can't really help with. And I want to get this done quickly, and so I just need to get this thing done. So you have a couple options. There's the playroom. You can sit at the kitchen table, play with your Legos, or you can read a book. There's three options. Make a good choice.
Yeah.
And I'm finding that a lot of the time, he goes and makes the choice.
Yeah. That's a really good concept is introducing make a good choice. So, okay. So, but we're going to take a break. I need to introduce.
Because they know what good and bad is, by the way.
Yeah, right.
So as long as you explain what a choice is, then they get it.
Yeah.
Make a good choice.
Yeah, that's something I'll have to implement. But I'm going to give you another scenario. And this is a scenario where I had to give Rosie a little swat.
Uh-oh.
Not a spank, but a little pain was inflicted, and I want to see if you would have handled it differently. So we'll take a break, and then we got to talk about it, because this has been on my mind a lot. Welcome back, everybody. We are the Radioactive Dads. Across from me is my dear friend and fellow actor, Brett Davern.
Yep.
And I am Nathan Crass.
That's right.
We do this show together where we sit and talk about dad stuff and whatever else it is that's crossing our minds. But I have had something very strongly on my mind in the last couple days. We've been talking about discipline and how to show your kids that you're serious and what you do in those situations where your kid's just not picking up what you're putting down. And I've had a couple situations in the last – it's happening for a couple weeks now, and it's not constant, but it's a trend that I'm detecting.
Tell me what's happening.
Okay. Yeah,
A lot of doublespeak before this.
Okay.
What's going on?
So diaper changes.
Okay.
Previously, very straightforward.
Yeah.
Suddenly, it's been happening in the last couple months, but now it's getting worse. Have you ever seen an alligator do a death roll?
I think those are more crocodiles, but yeah, I get what you're saying.
You ever seen a crocodile? Death roll.
He goes into his death roll,
Mike. Death roll.
Yeah.
So, you know what? They just like start like a just.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Like they just start barrel rolling all over the place to save their lives.
Mm-hmm.
So Rosie started doing that.
Right.
Just butt naked.
Yeah.
Once the diaper goes off, she just goes, and just flips around. And at first it was kind of cute. It was like, oh, that's funny, and she's making funny noises and doing funny faces, and she'll roll and then look back and see if we're watching.
Get
and
the reaction.
Ha, 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 ha. Okay, great. Now roll you back over and let's do this. As she's gotten older, one of her favorite things to do with us is wrestle and roughhouse.
Oh, they love
it. She's that kind of kid. She wants to be held down. She wants to be squished. She wants to be all that
absolutely.
Stuff. So immediately, as soon as the diaper comes off, she's just gone. It doesn't matter if there's poop all over that butt. It doesn't matter where she's smearing it. She's just gone. And we try to – at first, we start with the even tone, like, no, okay, this is not the time. We can play after. We can wrestle after. But right now, you have poop all over your butt. We need to change your diaper right now. Can you please sit still so that mommy or daddy can clean you up? And, you know, we just talk our way through it. And then she does it again. And while you're having this conversation, you're trying to get a couple of free swipes in there to get the biggest chunks off. Just so that, God forbid, it gets on the couch again.
Right.
You know, you don't have as much to deal with. So it starts escalating, obviously. The tone gets more authoritative and the dad voice comes out. And then, you know, it gets to the point where she rolls over and I grab her by the legs and I pull her back down. But then as soon as it starts getting physical,
mm-hmm.
then she's like, okay, we're playing the next game
wrestle
now.
Wrestle time.
Now we're into wrestle mode.
Yeah.
So then she tries harder to get away and she starts laughing and she's having a great time. And it doesn't matter how loud and how strong I say, this is not a game. I'm not playing right now, Rosie. And I pull her back down, and at that point, I'm holding her down, and then she's just cracking up, looking me dead in the eye, just thinking that this is the most fun she's ever had in her life. And I'm like, at that point, then I'm like kind of trying to like squeeze her leg a little bit and like inflict a little bit more, okay, this
authority.
Yeah. And she doesn't get it.
No.
She doesn't get it at all. So it got to the point where I was like, okay, she's naked. She's going to pee any second now. This is about to go really south. I've tried to like physically restrain her, and you can't really be patient with this because I can't get the diaper on. I can't get, as soon as I think I have it, she's just gone.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even, okay, I'm gonna put this diaper on and then we're gonna deal with your disobedience after that. I literally cannot put the diaper on.
Mm-hmm.
We can't put her in timeout because then she's gonna leak everywhere because she won't have a diaper on.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things where it needs to happen now.
Yeah.
Right now. What do you do in that situation?
Well, what did you do? Did you give her a little swat? That's what you said before the break.
Yes.
Was it in this situation?
It was in this exact situation. It was the first time that I had ever done anything like that, and it was super light. Like, no marks. It wasn't even on the butt. It was just, like, kind of on the side of the thigh.
And did she, what was her reaction?
She immediately stopped what she was doing, looked up at me, and cried for about 10 seconds, mm-hmm. and then laid perfectly still. And we had a conversation after that.
What's been happening ever since?
I would say, well, the problem is sometimes she's super easy with a diaper change, and she's just like, yeah, I know the routine. I need to get this done.
Right.
But maybe 20% of the time, one out of five times, it'll be one of those. And
another SWAT?
No, not every time.
There's only been the one?
No, it's probably happened in the last couple months. It's probably happened three times that it's gotten to the point where I've had to do a little thing. And I'll even warn her in advance. Like, I'll have her by the leg and say, like, if you do not stop, mm-hmm. you're going to get a SWAT. And
yeah.
And so
I'm trying to get to the bottom of whether it's you think it's worked or not.
Well, the thing is, I think it has,
uh-huh.
because it's the only thing the other times she hasn't gone so hardcore with it that I've been able to get the diaper back on and then we have a conversation about it after. It's in those times where I literally cannot control her, where I'm either going to have to pin her down and scream in her face,
yeah.
which I feel like is arguably more emotionally scarring than getting a little, like, slap on the wrist, essentially.
What does she do with London?
The same thing.
Okay.
And London's had to do it, I think, once or twice.
Yeah.
So, but what happens is she is, like, shocked that yes. thing happened, obviously. It snaps her out of it. She, you know, wells up, and while she's doing that, I'm explaining in a very calm voice why I did that and you know, saying, remember how Daddy said you're going to get a SWAT if you keep disobeying and all, and being very calm about it. And at that point, as soon as it happens, it's immediately going into de-escalation mode rather than SWAT. I told you not to, blah, blah, blah. You know, that's what keeps it going. But if that is the peak and from there it only goes down and, you know, like, you're in a very conversational tone and you say what you need to say and that's the end of it, then she got over it so fast. And then by that point, 10 seconds later, she's laying perfectly still and I'm saying, thank you. That's a very good listener. This is what Daddy was asking you to do. Good job obeying. And then immediately start building back up as soon as the behavior that you're looking for starts happening. And then at that point, she's going right back to A, B, C, D, E, you know, and she's just, it's like nothing ever happened. She literally needs to be snapped out of it.
I know.
And then once it happens, she's fine. After that, like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Now I get it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like a beating thing, and it's not like it inflicts real pain, you know? So that is, to me, that was the only thing really left, literally aside from holding them down and screaming in their face, which I didn't want to do.
First of all, I think that obviously I know you're a responsible dude, and it's not this, like, there's not, like, it's not like abuse.
Right.
You know, there's serious things that go on out there. And I know that's not what you're doing. So you're fine. And I think if it's working, that's what I was trying to get to, like, is it working or not?
Yeah.
Right? Because my fear as a parent is that becomes a game as well. Right?
Getting swatted?
Well, or that it becomes the white noise like we were talking about. Like, because if it's not working, but you just continue to do it, then it doesn't become a punishment anymore.
Right.
So that's what I was trying to say, like, well, is this, like, every time? Because then it starts to lose its effectiveness.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think you have to definitely pick and choose your moments.
Yeah.
For sure.
Right.
Because once something becomes consistent like that, but if there's no payoff at the end, then now this has become the routine.
Right.
So,
but that's the thing. She used to do that death roll thing way more frequently.
Yeah.
And now it doesn't happen as much. And it does de-escalate quicker without having to do it. It's just every once in a while there will be those really specific moments where it does happen. And then it's immediately fixed. And then for a few days it doesn't happen again. So it's like it's working. And I don't think it's not happening nearly frequently enough for it to be white noise.
Yeah.
But
do you think she's ready for full-on potty training, though, maybe?
she is showing kind of interest in it. We have a potty for her in the bathroom, and whenever we go, usually she wants to sit there too. And she's had slight success.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, that's going to be – that's a whole different thing too, because we actually – we have a new pediatrician, and she had very different thoughts about – when to do potty training.
Oh, so what is she saying?
She said delay as long as possible.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
Because the more that they just are able to fully grasp it and understand it, the easier it is in those times. So it was, I don't know, it was interesting. And not really as long as possible, but she was just saying, like, don't push it. Don't push for early.
Well, I have to tell you, so before the break, you were like, I want to know how you would handle that situation.
Yeah.
So let's go back to the diaper thing for a second.
Yeah.
Because we've had that happen too. I don't know how you're going to take this or not, but we got hardwood floors, so fine. You don't want to put on your diaper, fine. And then they have that accident, and they kind of – that's enough. Like, they kind of get it after that.
Having an accident on the floor?
Yeah.
Rosie would think that that's hilarious.
I don't know.
She's done it.
Yeah?
And it hasn't changed much.
I know, but in the situation where you couldn't get – because then that's the explainable moment where it's like, you see what happened? I got to put this thing on you. That's why we don't do this. I don't know. It's happened before, and it kind of locked it in for them. But every kid's different.
But then
so.
What's funny is, to me, I hear that, and I think, okay, so what that teaches them, in my opinion, is if I fight them enough, they'll just let me have my thing. And, you know, I can get away from them and run around without a diaper on rather than I have to listen, you know. And I understand the cause and effect thing of, oh, now I had an accident on the floor. But until I am convinced that she would think that that's a bad thing, I don't know how that
would
go.
Well, it's not necessarily that it's a bad thing. It's more like, this is the result of you not letting me do the thing that I was trying to do. Like, this is the result. Not necessarily that it's shameful or bad or a negative. It's more just, see, I was trying to do this thing. This A now led to B, which is why I was trying to do A. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's more just, I think, look what happened, you know?
Yeah.
And so I don't know. But like I said, every kid's different.
Yeah. I think the reason why we're trying to nail it in now is just, we want to do that thing where when we say something the first time, we want it listened to, rather than the like one. Two, like, we don't want to be the counting parents.
Yeah.
We don't, you know, and I know that, like, that
the counting thing I don't think works. I've tried that before, and I've tried to be consistent with it and try to follow all my own logic and everything. And for some reason, that just doesn't work. And I feel like an idiot doing it out loud, so I just don't do that.
Yeah, the problem is, all it teaches them is you only have to listen to them 10 seconds later rather than when they say something, I have to do it right now.
The only suggestion that's popping into my brain for you, and then I know we got to wrap the show, is... I know this is hard to do, but when you're at home, maybe something we always tried to do was always be consistent about going to the changing table. Because the changing table is great because you got that little curved pad on there.
They can't,
it's a little harder for them to get away. Also, it's up in the air and they know what falling is and things like that. So there's a bit of a barrier, so
true.
To speak, around it.
It only happens usually when we're on, like, the couch. We just change her on a blanket on the couch.
That's what I was going to say, too. The few times when we try to change them, like, on the playroom floor and stuff, they do get a little nuts.
Yeah.
But most of the time when it's on the changing table, they're better about it. So
that's
maybe
true.
Just
she's never done it on the changing table.
Trying to
before.
Discipline yourself to, I know, you know, it's probably upstairs or it's not where you are, but maybe trying that.
Yeah.
Might help as well, because then there's consistency in that.
Right, that's true. Yeah, because she's never done it that way before, too. And also, you know, to your point, you got hardwood floors, let them roll off the couch. That's where I thought you were going with it. Like, sure, you death roll right onto the ground, and then you won't like it anymore.
No.
You'll learn your lesson.
Yeah.
So not that?
No, not
let
that.
Let them pee on the floor?
Nah, I wouldn't try that.
Great, okay. Well... if anyone else out there has any suggestions as well, please help a dad out, because I'm kind of at my wit's end on this. And that's why we love the show so much, is I want your input. Brett wants your input.
Absolutely.
We are asking for any help that we can possibly get. And if there's anything that maybe we could help you with, please send us an email. RadioactiveDads@gmail.com. Hit the email button on our @RadioactiveDads social media accounts on Instagram. Hit email on our personal social medias. It'll all go to the same place. Ask your questions. Tweet us, gram us, DM us, do all that stuff. We want to hear from you, anything that you want us to talk about. And if you got any ideas for me, please, please give a boy a shout out, because I need you. I need you real bad. But I think that's it for discipline. Well, I feel like we barely scratched the surface. We'll be coming back to this as the children age, but at least for now, I think we covered it.
I think we did.